Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Man, we are in real cruise in our new Christmas series. We saw it last weekend, and the title is Jesus, the Perfect Light. And last weekend, we really summarized it like this. We said, Jesus, the Perfect Light, we learned two things, that light overcomes darkness. If I ask those guys to turn off the lights right now and then to turn it on, there is no darkness that can withstand the light. The second thing we learned last weekend was light gives life. In other words, you cannot have life and not have light. Why? Light gives life. And our key scripture is John 8:12, and I'm going to ask the guys to drop it up on the screen, and at the count of three, you all loud in your voice are going to read it with me. One, two, three, let's read. Awesome. That's a powerful key scripture. One of the key scriptures Jesus used to describe who he is and what he had come to do. You cannot have life without the light of Jesus, the perfect life. And so we're going to carry on in our series, Jesus, the perfect life. And I just want to, the perfect light, I just want to remind you how the Bible records the first words of Jesus, the first words of God the Father. In verse 3 says, the first recorded words from the mouth of God the Father was this, let there be light. And there was light. And I want to let you know that even today, as you listen to the words of God, the first thing he's going to be doing in your heart is to shed light in your heart so that you can see this Jesus who comes at Christmas as the perfect light. It takes God to shed the light, to shed his light in your heart, and then you begin to see correctly. Everything that's hidden, when light is shown, you see it clearly. It removes a very vagueness. Anything that's unclear, it removes. If you went to the bank to deposit cash, maybe bank notes, Ugandan legal tender, this is what the lady or the guy at the teller is going to do. He's going to receive your notes, but in their, below their desk, they have a UV light. They put your notes under there. So that reveals the hidden features of the note to prove that your note is a genuine note. In the same way, when light comes, the perfect light of God, Jesus, he helps us to see clearly. Why? When we read from the beginning of the Bible in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, in chapter 3 we find a summary of a wonderful, lovely relationship between God and his son, Adam. And chapter 3 tells us that they used to have intimacy and there are times when they would just talk. One such afternoon, God came in the afternoon just to have fellowship with Adam. But unfortunately, he found something had gone wrong. Sin that was introduced by Satan messed up their relationship. He asked, where are you? Adam had hidden himself. Why? He had conceded to the sin that was presented to him by Satan through the serpent. And so we see that relationship affected and people misrepresented God in those times. Why? Sin multiplied in the world. And people who did not even know God tried to present a wrong picture of who God is. They gave us tainted perceptions of God. It's like when you have dark shades like this. If I try to wear these shades, I can't see you. I just see some small spots. I think those are your heads. Eh? I try to see, but I can't see. That's how life is without the perfect light, Jesus. But when you remove the tinted shades and put on clear specs according to the way Jesus shines light above the Father, you begin to see the beautiful faces of people. I see the beautiful smiles of those people. And even those who are up in the balcony can see them. And I know that there are other friends, beautiful friends in the overflow. Come on, let's clap for our friends in the overflow. Jesus reveals the Father. And that's our message for today. Jesus, the perfect light, comes to reveal to us the Father. And you know, when light has been shown, the only right response to do is to open up your eye and see clearly. So today, as Jesus reveals to you the Father, you got to respond by seeing God in the way he is. Don't see him as if a God who's so far away, who's angry and waiting for the next sin you're going to commit so that spanks you, as if God can't wait to throw in the lake of fire. No, God can't wait to transfer you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his marvelous light. Come on, somebody here, praise our God. Give him praise in this place. He can't wait to save you. He can't wait to provide for you. He can't wait to protect you. Our God is such a wonderful Father. So come along with me, and we pick just some three things that Jesus, who came at Christmas, reveals about God the Father. The first one is this. Jesus comes at Christmas to reveal for us the Father's closeness to us. Jesus is closer than that person sitting next to you. The Father is close to you. When I was growing up and all the time, one of the loudest messages about Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Jesus comes to say. He comes in our streets and in our community and in our homes and indeed in our lives to say God is close. He's not far removed from us. I want to pick a story in Scripture about a guy called Zacchaeus. That story is in Luke 19. You can go and read it. One of those guys who had tinted thinking or perceptions or sight about God. Jesus was moving in the streets of Jericho. And people were excited and they were making noise and everybody took note that Jesus was in town. And this man is described in Scripture as a high official. He's a senior official in the revenue authority of the time, the URA of that time. And the Bible describes him to be corrupt. And so everybody knew him as corrupt and therefore a sinner. Because all the rest also had tinted glasses, they couldn't understand the heart of God well. They distanced themselves from him. And this man, hearing that Jesus was coming along, he said, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And his idea of reaching out to God was, let me climb this tree so that I can just peep at him. And he did. Maybe today you're coming just to hear from a distance, thinking God is so far away from you. But like Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus, as he was walking along, as he came closer, he knew Zacchaeus was actually trying to reach out to him by climbing the tree. So he shouted, Zacchaeus, come down. And this day, I'm going to have dinner in your house. And Zacchaeus' understanding of God was removed and became clear like this. Because when Jesus reached Zacchaeus' house, after the meal, Jesus declared, these two is the son of Abraham, and this day salvation has come in this house. And you know what happened? Immediately, to know that Zacchaeus had change of heart and change of perception of God, he declared, anyone I have owed or cheated anything, I'm going to return to them 10 times the amount. Anything that I have that is not mine, he said, I'm going to return. It was almost like If I was one of those whom he had cheated, I would really be rich, you know, because he gave, back 10 times. Jesus was saying, the Father has come in the house and every sin goes away. That's the kind of heart that Jesus came to reveal. Whoever you are here today, and you're thinking because of your failure, because of the mess of sin, and you think you're far from this God, we are telling you at Christmas, Jesus came to say, God is close to all. Come on, somebody, thank God. He's close to you. He's close to you. He's so close to you. Nobody will take that truth. Jesus came to declare to us that God is close. And if we are like Zacchaeus, who was trying a religious attempt to reach God, no, that's what religion does. Religion, man tries to reach God. You can't. You're trying to reach God, you can't. It's only Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who can take you to God. Only Jesus. And so we want to learn from this experience of Zacchaeus, so that we have the correct understanding of God. You know, even in those days, the same disciples who were around about Jesus, I'm sure Judas was one of them, they didn't want Jesus to go close to Zacchaeus. Because they too did not have the correct understanding. They were going through a process of understanding God. This is the way I know it. In the book of John, chapter 14, one of the disciples called Philip, Jesus had already told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He had done wonderful things in their midst. And now Jesus was declaring this thing to them, and both Thomas, Philip, all of them were failing to understand. And now in John 14, verse 8, here's Philip speaking to Jesus. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Today, when you receive Jesus, you're also receiving his Father. Today, when you let Jesus shed light about his Father, you are not just receiving truth about God, you're receiving the person of God himself. You are having a change of life from a fallen life of Adam to a new life in God. Come on, somebody, thank God that God has come. He's come through the person of Jesus Christ. So wherever you are, embrace God, because he loves you. He's not against you. He's for you. The second thing we learn from that Jesus, the perfect life, light comes to reveal to us is the Father's heart. The Father's heart. You know, you need to understand that God has a heart of compassion towards you. Compassion is when you are moved by the situation that someone is in. You don't want to just know and ignore. You are moved to correct that difficult situation somebody's in. That's compassion. Your Father knows exactly what you're going through, and he's not going to ignore it. So Jesus comes, and in many places, he tells us how God is concerned about our situation. Many cases, but let me pick just one. We see in John chapter 5, Jesus, we are told that he's in Jerusalem near the temple, but there is a place around there, that place that is got a pool in a place called Bethsaida. I've been there with your pastor, Pastor Julius. We went along with him there, and the place is actually there. So the Jews believed that when somebody is sick And they hang around near that place. An angel comes and stirs up the water. And the first person to touch the water gets healed. So this man who has been sick for 38 years was lying by the pool. I don't know how many of you are 38. Very few. But this man has been sick for 38 years. So he is waiting for his turn to go in. But like our fallen world, where it's only the feet, the survival for the fittest. Only the feet can go ahead of you. The other ones who are stronger would get into the pool faster than him. So Jesus asked, why are you here? What do you want me to do for you? He says, you know, I've been waiting. I've been waiting so that I would reach out to the well and so that I could get healed when the angel stirs up the water. But other people always come before me. Was describing to Jesus his hopelessness, not knowing that the hope of glory is near him. And so this is what Jesus tells him. He says, pick your mat and go. And instantly the man picked up his mat and walked no more back home. Come on, somebody, thank Jesus. Thank Jesus who comes to demonstrate the Father's heart of compassion. He had compassion on this man. And the man was whole. He was whole. Jesus has come to show the heart of compassion of the Father. I don't know who you are. Jesus is concerned about your situation. If you're in this place, just know he's not ignoring the bills that you failed to pay. He's not ignoring the situation that has been declared upon you from your workplace. Maybe they've told you at the end of 2018, your contract with us is over. And you're wondering, what will you do? Jesus has compassion over you. He cares about what you're going through. Jesus also, in the same way, shows us that God has a heart of mercy. Because that same man, after Jesus had healed him, Jesus went away and went on in his journey. And the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, were trying to harass him. Why are you carrying the man on a Sabbath and all that? But Jesus later meets him again near the temple. This is what Jesus tells him to show him the heart of mercy of God the Father. In John chapter 5 verse 14 says like this. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. In other words, Jesus was declaring to him, your sins are forgiven. And therefore, stay from sin. Stay away from sin. Why? Jesus already told us from what we read earlier on, whatever he's doing, it's the Father who's getting him to do. So when Jesus tells him, stop sinning, your sins are forgiven. In other words, it's the merciful God who is forgiving this man. Listen. Jesus has given up his right to punish you and me for all the sins that we have committed. That's called mercy. When someone is supposed to punish you for the wrong that you've done, it's showing you a heart of mercy. And Jesus was doing that because that's the same heart of God the Father. But if you refuse to receive the mercy of God, as we preached in our previous series, there's going to come a day when if you refuse the mercy of God, you will choose to pay for it yourself by going to hell. So today, receive the mercy of God. Receive the forgiveness of God. Accept Jesus as your Lord so that when the day of judgment comes, your judgment won't be into punishment. Your judgment will be into glory. Come on, somebody, just thank this Jesus who comes to give us the mercy of God, to demonstrate the heart of God who is so merciful. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we shall confess our sins, he, the Father, is faithful to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Wow. It has come to show us the heart of God, the heart of compassion, and the heart of the Father, the heart of mercy. The third thing, as we go home, to demonstrate that we are the light of the world. Because when Jesus is in you, you also carry around his light. The light we're talking about is not this one, it's on the tree. We're talking about the light which is a person who is Jesus inside of you. And so he's giving you power to also go and be the light of the world. So the third thing is this. Jesus, the perfect light, comes to reveal to us the Father, the Father's power. God has power. If you believe it, say amen. God has power, so much, limitless power. Like we mentioned, the other invalid near the pool in Bethsaida. A man who has been sick, unable to move for 38 years. It can only be the limitless power of the Father of Jesus that can change him instantly from being an invalid to being a valid man who can pick up his mat and go home. This is what Jesus did. He did not go through the dynamics, all these other Pentecostal dynamics that you see people doing around. He just said, pick your mat and go. He has power over disease. He has the power over poverty. He has the power over hunger. He has the power over sin. He has the power over death. When Jesus had been preaching somewhere and 5,000 men were around about him hungry. Of course, it's even more thousands of women and their children along. But 5,000 men were around about him and they're hungry. This is what he told the disciples. Please find for them something to eat. Because the disciples did not have power like God has power. They came back to him. There's nothing. How can we feed these 5,000 people? They said, go search around. And they came back and said, there's a boy. Only one boy has two fish and five loaves of bread. Said, go and get the boy. Bring the fish here. Bring the bread here. Because Jesus has the power to multiply. Five loaves and two fish were able to feed 5,000 men and all their wives and all their children. And they could not finish. Come on, somebody. Thank God who has power to multiply. Are you in poverty? Are you lacking something? Whatever it is, God has power to multiply into abundance what you're going through right now. I mean, think about Lazarus. Lazarus died. And Jesus came around. He was a friend of Jesus. His family was known to Jesus. And Jesus came around 4 days after Jesus had been buried. His sisters, Martha and Mary said, no, Lord, don't go. I think he's already smelling. But because Jesus has a power over death, power over nature, he came near that tomb. He said, where is he buried? He went there. All he did said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walked out of death. That is the kind of God we are talking about. Whoever you are in the overflow or up in the balcony, whatever is dying in you, whether it's your relationship or your marriage or your vision or something, some sickness is killing you, God has power to bring you back into the wholesome life. Come on, somebody. Thank God in this place. He has power to overcome all those things. The miracles that Jesus performed, they were all to demonstrate the power of the Father. He said he did not do one thing which he did not see the Father doing. That's our Father. That's the Jesus. That's the Father that the Jesus of Christmas has come to reveal to us today. Jesus, the perfect light, came from the Father and came to us to reveal the exactness of God, our Father. So today, we have shared that this Jesus has come to say the Father is close to us, that the Father's heart of compassion is the kind of way he deals with us, and the Father has power over all our situation. Once God gives light, it's no longer a question of whether you have seen the light. The question is, what becomes of what you do with the light? What do you want to do with Jesus? What do you want to do with this Jesus? Light and life are the same. If you want life, receive the light of Jesus. Come on, close your eyes and let's pray. as I request Pastor Julius to come and close. Begin to connect with God and ask yourself those areas of your life where you want the perfect light, this Jesus of Christmas, to bring life unto you. Pray to God right now.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.